What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
The U.S. economy has now regained the 22 million jobs it lost during the pandemic. What does robust hiring mean for the Federal Reserve's plans on interest rates?
The Fed has said that it wants to cool the labor market because the labor market is running too hot.
And how Amazon is expanding its home device portfolio. Plus, new research is reviving hopes for organ transplant patients. It's Friday, August 5th. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. This is the PM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories that moved the world today. U.S. employers added 528,000 jobs to the economy in July, according to the Labor Department. After nearly 2.5 years, the economy has now recouped the 22 million jobs it lost during the early days of the pandemic, and the unemployment rate now matches the half-century low of 3.5% that it also hit before the pandemic. U.S. stocks fell after the release of the jobs report before recovering some of the losses and ultimately ending the day mixed. The S&P 500 and the NASDAQ each lost less than 1%, while the Dow managed a more than 76-point gain. Markets reporter Akani Otani explains what has investors concerned.
This was the classic example of good news actually being bad news for the markets. And what I mean by that is investors were actually expecting a weak jobs report. And they were thinking, because so many areas of the economy have recently started to show signs of slowing down, if we got a weak jobs report, that should give the Fed a little bit of space to maybe reconsider its planned rate increases. But instead, we got this sort of blowout number where unemployment rate actually fell a little bit. It's near historic lows. We got more than double the number of jobs added that analysts had actually expected. And that was incredibly surprising. So while that's really good news in terms of a strong labor market, it's bad news in terms of investors expecting or hoping the Fed will dial back on its interest rate increases, because we actually see that the economy is quite strong and it probably can withstand a little bit more pressure from the Fed.
And we'll talk more about what the latest jobs report means for the Fed later in the show. The first convoy of ships carrying Ukrainian grain left the port of Odessa today. Russia and Ukraine agreed to resume exports late last month after months of diplomacy led by the United Nations and Turkey. A senior UN official says the deal is in effect for 120 days, after which it can be renewed with the goal of getting Ukraine back to its pre-war grain export levels. Amazon is buying iRobot, the maker of Roomba smart vacuums, for $1.7 billion, adding another connected home device to its portfolio. The e-commerce giant agreed to pay $61 a share for iRobot, a 22% premium to its Thursday closing price. Reporter Connor Hart has more on what the tie-up means for Amazon.
We saw back in 2018 they acquired Ring Doorbell. Their Amazon Alexa products are obviously pretty much in the collective consciousness when it comes to a smart home device. And so this is just them expanding their lineup. For iRobot, the company took a hit in its most recent quarterly earnings, and I think that being part of this larger umbrella is just going to give it a backlog, and it's going to help its supply chain issues and hopefully help its sales, and we'll see where it goes from there.
iRobot would be Amazon's fourth largest acquisition. And we report exclusively that Pfizer is in advanced talks to buy Global Blood Therapeutics, the maker of a recently approved drug for sickle cell disease, for about $5 billion. People familiar with the matter say Pfizer is aiming to seal the deal in the coming days, but the situation is still fluid, with other suitors still in the mix. A deal for GBT would give Pfizer a drug with potential future sales growth at a time when it's looking to bolster its portfolio of non-pandemic products. Coming up, strong hiring continues in the labor market, but could that growth complicate matters for the Federal Reserve as it works to tame inflation? More on that after the break.
You're a growing business and you can't afford to slow down. If anything, you could probably use a few more hours in the day. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate, No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
As we reported earlier in the show, the July jobs report shows strong hiring continues despite an economic slowdown. U.S. payrolls are now back to pre-pandemic levels. But while the labor market is going strong, there are concerns in the broader economy, chief among them persistently high inflation. Joining me now to sort through this is Wall Street Journal labor economics reporter Sarah Cheney Cambon. Hi, Sarah. Thanks for being here.
Thanks so much for having me, Anne-Marie.
So, Sarah, we've been hearing a lot of concerns about an economic slowdown or a recession for the U.S. economy, but today brought a pretty strong jobs report. Can you help us square those concerns with the latest data we're seeing?
In the first two quarters of this year, GDP contracted, but we've just seen incredibly strong job growth, which is very unusual. There's been a lot of talk and concerns that we might be in a recession because the economy has contracted and we've seen slowdowns in consumer spending, which is very key for the economy. However, employers continue to hire. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that they just haven't been able to find enough workers to meet demand, even as demand slows.
So let's talk a little bit more about that. The labor market has also been very tight these past few months, with open positions exceeding the number of those looking for employment. Are we seeing that start to ease at all?
There are some slight signs of easing. We saw that job openings actually fell a good bit in June. However, the labor market is still really tight, and we saw that again in Friday's jobs report with the unemployment rate, which hit its pre-pandemic half-century low of 3.5%. So companies are still competing pretty fiercely for workers.
We've been talking about how in a tight labor market, workers are having more leverage right now in terms of looking for jobs and demanding from employers what kind of benefits they want. What does the latest report tell us about the power workers have in this labor market right now?
It tells us that workers really continue to have a good bit of power. I mean, if you look at wage growth, which is kind of a sign of how much workers can really demand from employers in this market, it's running above 5%, which is well above where it was before the pandemic. It was about 3% then. So they're still able to get wages. And I mean, one downside in this current economy is clearly inflation. So inflation is outpacing wage growth, which is a concern for many workers. Some workers have already said that high inflation is driving them back into the labor force, particularly retirees, because they just can't afford to keep up with the cost of living now. So some people are, quote, unretiring, for instance.
At the same time, we're seeing several companies cutting staff. Which sectors are struggling right now?
We are seeing some anecdotal evidence that companies are cutting workers. We've seen some layoffs in the technology space. We've seen some retailers saying that they have overstaffed. And we've also seen some weakness in real estate. And a good bit of that has to do with companies are battling high inflation and Federal Reserve interest rate increases.
Right. So what does this latest report mean for the Fed, which has been raising interest rates to cool inflation while the labor market has been pretty strong?
The Fed has said that it wants to cool the labor market because the labor market is running too hot, essentially. And wage growth is one factor that drives up inflation, and the Fed wants inflation to come down. So the latest jobs report shows that we still have pretty high wage growth. The labor market is running strong and much stronger than a lot of economists expected. And so this will likely mean that the Federal Reserve will continue to raise interest rates.
What other trends are emerging from this report? What caught your attention?
I think the breadth of job growth is really interesting. At this point, a lot of sectors that we thought might be weakening, like technology, continued to show some strength. Technology shows up in several different sectors in this report, including information and professional and business services. And those sectors continued to add jobs in July. We also saw that even though the housing market is slowing down some, Residential construction firms continued to add jobs in July. So it's somewhat of a mystery why all of these sectors are doing so well still.
That's Wall Street Journal labor economics reporter Sarah Cheney Cambon. Sarah, thanks so much for joining me.
Thanks so much for having me, Anne-Marie.
And finally, a new scientific finding offers hope for people in need of organ transplants. A paper in the science journal Nature this week describes how researchers restored the function of some organs in dead pigs. Scientists used an experimental system they dubbed Organ X on pigs that had been dead for an hour and found their hearts had resumed beating and limited function was restored to their brains, lungs, livers, kidneys, and pancreases. Researchers hope the technology could be used to expand the supply of human organs that are available for transplant by making it possible to preserve and even repair organs. Our reporter Amy Doxer-Marcus says scientists think it could eventually be used to help people who have suffered strokes or even drowned.
When you're oxygen deprived, immediately cells start to die. There can be severe damage in minutes if you don't have oxygen. If they're able to develop this technology, they envision critical care doctors potentially being able to use it to help improve outcomes for people who have heart attacks and strokes, potentially bring those people back to life and to improve the quality of their care.
And that's what's news for this week. Our hosts are me, Anne-Marie Fertoli, and Luke Vargas. The show was produced by Anthony Bansi and Mohsen Ali, with help from Kate Bullivant, Julie Chang, Zoe Thomas, and J.R. Whalen, and editorial support from Jenny Ang, Michael Kosmides, and Chris Sinsley. If you like what you hear, please rate and review us. We'll be back on Monday morning.
What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.